You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Welcome in. Happy Masters to you. As we come your way from the Eakin Nutrition Studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up here in just a moment. Andrew on the other side of the glass here today, our producer. We got a great show and a packed show coming up for you on this Thursday. Blake Bolton will join us from the Drake Relays. He is the director. We will talk about the annual Rite of Spring here in the state of Iowa. We will do that coming up in just a little bit with Blake Bolton, the 114th running of the Drake Relays, April 25th through the 27th, coming up in a couple of weeks from today down at Drake Stadium in Des Moines. Kevin Lehman, the coach, one more time, our final off-the-glass segment of the year. We will wrap up the college basketball campaign for the men and the women. We will do that with Kevin coming up in just a little bit. We'll keep you updated on what's happening at Augusta as well with the Masters as the 88th edition of the great event continues. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you today. That is the text line. That is the phone line as well, 319-366-1600 from the Eakin Nutrition Studios here on 1600 AM in Cedar Rapids along with 102.3 FM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And hi to you, Andrew. How are you?
Hello. Good.
Excellent.
It's been a good day today.
It has been a good day. It has been a good day. And Mark Dukes from the southwest side on his back porch. How are you? I know you're happy because we got golf today.
Yeah, absolutely. Good afternoon to you guys and everyone out there. And turns out we're packed today, so let's go.
Yeah, we are. And a hi to Herb out there, my friend Herb, today. Wanted to pass that along. A loyal and faithful listener to the program. Herb, keep up the great work out there. We've got Masters, but we need to start things off today, Mark, with the news that broke earlier on this morning. I believe actually taking place yesterday, but the news breaking today. One of the more interesting characters. Talk about a fall from grace. I don't think anyone had a fall from grace more than O.J. Simpson. And O.J. Simpson passing away from cancer, I guess, yesterday. That news announced earlier today to the world. And, of course, most people probably, what, Andrew's age, you probably remember him as the guy that spent his life in jail. Is probably what you remember, correct?
I remember that and just all, like, the jokes people would make about, like, the glove and him being in jail and everything.
Right. But Mark and I remember him as a pitch man, as a movie star, and as one of the best running backs in the National Football League, as well as in college athletics from his days at USC and then namely with the Buffalo Bills, Mark. And like you said earlier when we were talking, nobody has had more of a star-crossed life than O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, Scott, when I heard the news today, my first thought was not, oh, that's too bad. 876, maybe a little bit young. My first thought was the summer of 1994. And considering all this guy did in his life, that's all I could think about. It was 94 and that racially charged jury that acquitted him of two murders. And you said fall from grace. That's perfect. The greatest fall from grace in the history of mankind, maybe. The football stardom, the broadcasting, the commercials, TV, movies. He couldn't go anywhere without being recognized. And then things changed in 1994, actually before that when he was first arrested. But I can't what happened doesn't override or in his football career, broadcasting, whatever it may be. That's so far down the list to me that that's just me. That's the way I thought of it when I heard.
319-366-1600. Your thoughts, reminiscences of O.J. Simpson, former Heisman Trophy winning running back at USC. And, 1994, the world changed. And I've said this before. In fact, it's come up many times on some of our Friday topics, Mark, that how people don't understand this was the pre-internet era, pre-social networking era. And this was, even without all those mediums, the most talked about, and it was the trial of the century, to be honest with you. And shudder to think what it would be now and what it would be like now if this happened in 2024. So three decades earlier, and just he was a guy that was a pitch man. He was probably the number two pitch man, Mark, in the 70s and the 80s behind Arnold Palmer, I would dare say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Arnold, he did just as many things. Hertz rental cars to food to restaurants, you name it. And O.J. Simpson was pitching it out there.
He was, and that's the way he would have been remembered had he somehow died in the early 1990s. But once again, that stuff is so far down the list to me that, that trial itself, despite the lack of social media, it was on TV. It was enthralling. It was at the end. It divided this country. The jurors, later said, yeah, we thought he was guilty, but gave him a big fist, when they acquitted him. I mean, it was, that's the part I remember, how ridiculous a verdict it was. The guy gets away with double murder. I don't care if he was one of the great football players in history and his broadcasting and film and television career. For me, I just don't care.
Yeah. Megan is meeting his maker today, says 5822. 319.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, 319-366-1600 at 312. And we're going to talk with Blake Bolden coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Do need to update you on the Masters. Mark, you can't birdie them all if you don't birdie the first one. Tiger is one under. Let the hype begin. The hype's been here since Monday. And he has just hit his tee shot at number two, though, way left into the woods. And there is a little stream down there. And that might not be the best spot for Tiger. Birdie played one absolutely wonderfully. Right now, though, they're all chasing Bryson DeChambeau, the long-driving LIV Tour member and major champion. He is walking up 18 right now at 7 under par. Pretty good scoring today at Augusta National. It did rain about a half an inch overnight, and that has softened up the greens for sure. Still playing pretty hard and rolling as far as the fairways are concerned, but they're able to throw some darts in there. Now, the wind is up, Mark, at about 20 to 25 miles per hour. The folks that are teeing off like Tiger right now, they will not end their round today. They will have to come back early tomorrow morning.
That's true. And the Masters really kind of lucked out compared to what was a horrible forecast. When I went to bed last night, I didn't expect this first round to start until afternoon our time. But they got underway about 9:30 our time.
Yep.
And a lot of folks are going to finish. I went into this tournament wondering how these dozen and a half LIV players were going to do. DeChambeau's been great. and a lot of familiar names near the top of the leaderboard. What's Danny Willett doing up there? Come on.
2016.
I know he won the tournament, but come on.
Right now, he's at 4 under par. He shot a 68 today and doing very, very well. Ben Ahn at -4. Victor Hovland at -4. Early leader Ryan Fox is back to -3 now. And Wyndham Clark in his first Masters is in there at -3 as well. Big group at -2, which includes Corey Connors, Matt Fitzpatrick, and world number one Scotty Scheffler in there as well. 319-366-1600 as we are at 315. And apparently Tiger's ball is stymied up against a tree. That's going to be a tough one. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll keep you updated on the Masters, but we're going to talk Drake Relays when we come back, and then some basketball as well. Blake Bolden's going to join us. Stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we're going to have more clouds around today, and it will be breezy and cooler. Temperatures will be held closer to 60 degrees, and winds could gust as high as 35 miles per hour this afternoon. It's still going to be windy as we head into tonight, and temperatures will drop down into the low 40s as clouds gradually clear. We'll have some more sunshine tomorrow, but still breezy, and temperatures will be in the low to mid 60s. We'll have some more warmth around over the weekend with temperatures in the 70s and 80s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Back in 1944, there was a young watchmaker named Willa Dickens. He had his eye on a local jewelry store. As soon as their watchmaker left, he took the position. Worked long days, learned the ropes, and achieved his dream of owning and running Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. When his sons Terry and Tim could barely see over the jewelry cases, they began learning at his side. It's the Dickens family that gives Hertine and Stocker Jewelers its unbending reputation for integrity. They also offer a brand of service that hardly exists anymore, like a layaway program. When someone finds a beautiful something to have or give, they put some money down, pay on it each month, interest-free of course, and when it's paid for, it's theirs for keeps. Stop by, see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. And step in and say hello to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
Tomorrow's our garbage day, so the leaf vacuum will be around too.
Leaves just go in your yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay. They'll be picking up through April 26th. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Sign up for CR News Now, or go to the city website for more info.
317 back with you here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Thanks for joining us here today. We're going to wrap up the college basketball season coming up here in just a little bit, but we are 2 weeks away from the 114th running of the Drake Relays in earnest, starting on the 25th of April, running through Saturday the 27th. And Blake Bolden joining us here once again. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. It's now officially spring. I'm in your studio. Now the tulips can come up and we can have a track meet.
Yeah, you were actually supposed to be here last week, but with all everything going on with the Final Four, you pushed it off a week.
Number 22 is all we wanted to talk about last week. This week, starting today, we can really talk about track and field.
Yeah, and look at what the weather's doing.
That's right. Here we go. And in typical spring in Iowa fashion, a lot of sun, maybe some rain, and then some more sun and maybe some more rain. It's one of those days.
Very true.
And that's been the spring so far, but it hasn't stopped Iowa high school kids. You know, Scott, every year we talk about the blue standards, those marks that we set a few years ago to allow high school kids across the state, no matter if they're a high jumper or a sprinter, distance runner or thrower, the opportunity, to celebrate extraordinary achievement. You know, like in basketball, you know what a triple-double is, or football, that 100-yard rushing game, or those stats that are coffee talk for everybody. And we're hoping that in high school track and field, these blue standards continue to become that, because it is they are intended to establish the fields, the top 25% of the fields of an already elite group of the Drake Relays qualifiers. And all that to be said, each year they get harder and better and tougher, and so do the kids. And we've already got more than 200 kids have attained one of those marks. So track season's off and running, literally.
Off and running.
Blake, it being an Olympic year, how does that impact the Drake Relays?
I sleep less, Mark. Good to hear your voice. Yeah, you know, it's great in that I think the very top-level athletes get to be more picky. You know, if you're Ryan Krauser, who is coming to Drake, he's the two-time Olympic champion, world record holder, he has the luxury. He can pick the city and the date where he wants to compete, and we'll all rearrange our lives to host the Olympic champion. On the other hand, if you're like most of the rest of the world and you've dreamt of being on that Olympic podium, and you're not already there and already have that established name, you're scrambling. You know, maybe desperate is the word, to find those right opportunities, to make sure your meet schedule's there and to be able to afford it. And, you know, a lot of the track and field athletes are just trying to get by and pursuing their dreams. You know, classic story of a college athlete that struggles when they graduate and then becomes an Olympian. Or in the case of Lolo Jones, who announced this week, she beat us to the punch. She's coming to the Drake Relays. We announced her as a Hall of Famer, and she knew that announcement was coming, but then she went ahead to say, hey, training's going well, I'm going to race. And that's a great example of whether you're the reigning champ, someone who wants to be there, or someone who was this close, you know, just maybe an inch or two away from standing on that podium in 2008, this may be your last chance. So everybody's dusting off the spikes. Everybody's tying them tighter this year. And it's going to be a really special Drake Relays.
Going to be, indeed. And was last year as well. A lot of records, I think double digits as far as records were set
Drake
last
Relays
year.
Records. Yeah, good memory. Yeah, and one record that didn't get broken last year was the men's 800 meters. Randy Wilson, he's an Iowa native. He set that record 1:45.86, 1 minute, 45 seconds, 0.86 in 1978. He's from Knoxville, Iowa. He made the Olympic team as an Iowa native in 1980 and then didn't get to go to Moscow. So, you know, that's a story that has lived in central Iowa and across the state for 40-plus years. And now his record is in jeopardy because the Olympic champ, Emmanuel Carrere, he won the Olympics in 21 in Tokyo. He won the World Championships in 22. He's run 1:42 for 800, and his agent has expressed a very clear interest to come take down one of our oldest records. And what makes it exciting for me and for Iowans is we've got, you know, if that's Goliath in our sport and in the men's 800, we have at least five local Davids that are ready to take him down. We've got at Drake, he was an NCAA runner-up last year in the men's mile, Isaac Baston. He's got three school records. He's one of the best athletes in the NCAA. He will turn pro, and he has Olympic aspirations. In addition to Adam Fogg, a Drake grad who just made the finals at the World Championships, and two Cyclones. They went third and sixth at the NCAA Indoor Championships. They both have Olympic aspirations. So we've got Cyclones, Bulldogs, potentially a Hawkeye. They have the reigning national champion indoors, Rivaldo Marshall. He may be in the mix, but I know Joey's looking to keep him involved in their 4x4. So we'll see. But we do have the Olympic champion come to set a record against local guys.
Blake, one of the many great things about the Drake Relays, and you referenced this, is the high school athletes being able to come in, compete, maybe place high, mingle with the best in the sport. And wondering if there's any changes in the schedule there or the reception that you get from high school athletes and their coaches.
Mark, I'm wondering if you know a discus thrower that's come to the Drake Relays the last 3 years. Anybody like that? Nice?
Nice might have won a couple years ago, yes.
I wanted to make sure we talked about that. You get a chance to brag here as the proud uncle. I think she's got a unique position to be a four-time qualifier. Is that right?
I believe so, and I think she's reached the standard. I'm not sure.
Right. Well, come on, you got to pay more attention, Uncle Mark. No, but yeah, very, very seriously, it is a big deal when to Iowa high school kids. You know, we talked about that last year. That you know, she gets the chance now not only to see some of the best collegiate discus throwers. That is her event, and that's significant to see Lolly Tasaga, who has thrown at the Drake Relays, and then she went and won the world championships in Budapest last year. That's terrific. But on the other hand, in real time this year, we have changed some throws, some schedule to our throws, not necessarily, Mark, with your niece in mind, but with athletes like her in mind, because there is a bright future for throwers. We have the shot put in the discus at high school. We don't have the javelin or the hammer throw, but those are the original Olympic implements. If we talk about implements of war in ancient Greece, those are it. The javelin and the hammer is a 16-pound steel ball on the end of a 2-foot chain or a steel cable, and you spin. And so the way this has been coached and evolved and the science of sport, it truly is like the most artistic ballet you'll ever see, matched with ancient warfare. And we've got pro hammer for both the men and women, pro javelin for both the men and women for the very first time on Thursday night. We're calling it Thursday Night Throwdown. And it's part of our distance carnival, and which there are some really exciting elements to our distance events this year. But Thursday night is worth the drive to Des Moines, $15 tickets, and that really starts off the excitement in the stadium.
And you got stuff even starting back on Monday for the week.
You can get away from work for a week. You guys just do a week of remote shows. Come on down. It's going to be great. We start on Sunday before with the Drake Road Races, the 5K, 10K, and half marathon. If that's not your cup of tea, Beautiful Bulldog is that Sunday afternoon as well. You know, we've got 30 Bulldogs. I think we had 114 dogs enter the lottery from 18 states. So those numbers are not high. It's maybe even it's maybe even higher than that. Really incredible event there. And then we turn right around on Monday. For the first time in a decade, we have the vault at Jordan Creek. So we're taking a pole vault, which is not a everyday event here in Iowa, and we're putting it in the middle of Central Iowa's shopping destination. So it may not be worth your trip to the the Apple Store on a Monday, but coming to the mall in Des Moines on Monday is going to be worth it. We have the American record holder, Casey Lightfoot. He and his agent, Jeff Hartwig, who was an American record holder, they've assured me that we're going to have the first man ever over 19 feet inside a shopping mall. Mm. That's never happened in Des Moines or anywhere else in the world, and they can attest to that. Don't know if that's a ratified world record, but it's going to be really cool.
Might as well be.
We'll try. We'll try to see if that's a record. And on the women's side, we have five very top American women. At least one will be in Paris, and it's going to be a terrific and novel event. You know, it's just going to be a lot of fun. And we turn right around and go to Tuesday. You know, we flip the calendar one day, and we're downtown with the Grand Blue Mile for the eighth consecutive year, even including 2020. The U.S. 1 Mile Championships will be hosted in downtown Des Moines. Really thrilled to bring that back, and especially in 2024 in an Olympic year. But last year, the inaugural world records in the 1 Mile road race were ratified in Des Moines. So since then, we got some support in the city. Everybody loves the Drake Relays. We applied to the city to rename the street where the race is held, 13th Street between Locust and Grand, at the headquarters of the presenting sponsor, Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield. We've renamed the street World Record Way. So for the first time in history, we'll have about 3,000 runners finishing on World Record Way on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, I've already mentioned him, Ryan Krauser, the 2-time Olympic champion, world record holder, 6'8", all 6'8" and 310 pounds of him, coming to Des Moines to take a shot at his own world record in the historic Drake Fieldhouse. Really going to be a blast. Eight athletes total, 4 men, 4 women, in a unique mixed gender team competition. It doesn't get any better. We're going to have DJ. It's a free event, open to the public. Beer sales, food trucks. And it's same on Monday at Jordan Creek Mall. It's free. So a lot of good reasons to come to Des Moines, take some vacation time, and just hang out.
There you go. And what is, if people want to just take a look at all the schedule, everything surrounding the relays, Tell them how they can do that and get tickets.
That's right. DrakeRelays.org. And you'll see if you go to the site, we're having daily announcements now. Scott, as you mentioned, we stayed pretty quiet out of respect, certainly for the Drake Bulldogs, our new basketball coach. We're excited about Ben, but also for the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones that have had incredible basketball seasons. So here we are now. If you go to DrakeRelays.org, you're going to see news at least once a day from now until April 27th. And, of course, for all that information on tickets, DrakeTix.com/DrakeRelays, DrakeTix.com/DrakeRelays.
Yeah, and you're due for about a 72-degree sunny Saturday. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to sell out anyway. But
well, we are headed toward our 57th consecutive Saturday, and I will say with this, the world record holder in the shot put, the world champion and Olympic champion in the 800, and then Lolo Jones. We haven't even announced who she's racing with, and our ticket office phone was going crazy, all because she posted on her Instagram story. So, you know, it's if we get a 72 and sunny Saturday, there's not going to be an empty seat.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And always good to see you, Blake. Thanks
great
for stopping,
you
and Mike. And it's a rite of spring, as you mentioned, and going to be another great Drake Relays this year. And 114 of them come down the road. So this one's going to be the biggest and the best.
I hope so. It's going to be a good one. No doubt about it. So thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks. And we'll take a quick break, come back. We'll get an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, and we'll talk to Kevin Lehman as well when we return here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Back right after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
I'm a waitress, so I know the difference between regular shoes and Skechers slip-resistant work shoes. Skechers slip-resistant work shoes make my job go like this. Here's your pasta primavera.
Thanks.
While regular shoes make my job go like this. Here's your pasta primavera. Yeah. And that difference is why I wear Skechers slip-resistant work shoes. They've got serious traction to keep me on my feet. Plus, they're easy to clean and have Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam for comfort throughout my shift. They come in classic, wide, and relaxed fits, as well as a variety of fashionable styles, including athletic looks, so I don't have to sacrifice style for safety. In fact, my Skechers slip-resistant work shoes look so good, I often wear them when I'm not working. Hey, slips can happen at any time, so even if I'm not at work, my Skechers work shoes are putting in overtime. Get America's number one selling work shoe at Skechers.com, a Skechers store near you, or wherever work shoes are sold.
Back with you at 3:31 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Before we get to Kevin Lehman, Mark, I want to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They are at First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. They're online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
Abbreviated Major League Baseball scoreboard today. Two games already postponed due to weather. Those are the Twins and the Tigers, Reds and the Brewers. One final, the New York Mets drubbed Atlanta 16-4. Kansas City put up a 9 spot in the first inning against Houston and lead the Astros 13-3 in the 8th inning. End of the 7th, Oakland up 1-0 on Texas. Jenna Tweet from Kirkwood Community College, the national champions, has been named a first-team junior college All-America. Quite an honor for the former Benton community star. Megan Gustafson, the last person to have her jersey retired or number retired at the University of Iowa. Her team won the Euro Cup. The London Lions won that cup last night. Gustafson had 18 points and 7 rebounds. And Shohei Ohtani's interpreter has been arrested and charged with fraud, stealing over $16 million from Ohtani, allegedly. He apparently placed over 19,000 bets in 3 years and had net losses of $40 million.
Which is about 3 games for Shohei, right?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Thank you for that.
It's all deferred, Scott.
Yeah, well, that's true. That is true. But he's still doing just fine out there. Get you another Masters update coming up here in just a little bit. DeChambeau is at -7. He is now in the clubhouse with a 65. And he is a 3-shot lead right now over Danny Willett, also in the clubhouse with a 4-under par 68. If you went out early today, you got the better end of the deal as far as the tee times are concerned. One more time, we bring in the coach, Kevin Lehman, for our off-the-glass segment. We've been talking college basketball on Thursdays throughout the season right here on the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN. And we will do that one final time, Kevin, here today. Now that we've got a men's and a women's champion, and nobody is surprised, right?
No, I think it kind of went according to script. UConn, probably the best team from about mid-January on, playing really well for Danny Hurley. And, of course, South Carolina, what a run they've had. The only loss in the last 2 years to the Iowa Hawkeyes in last year's Final Four.
Yeah, nobody was surprised by that. Were you surprised by it was a 6-point game at half? I really thought Purdue was going to give UConn some problems. But, boy, that second half, much like they did the entire tournament, was dominating, and UConn set a record since they expanded the tournament. I think, what, plus 14 or something like that as far as their average margin of victory is concerned. They made it look easy.
He certainly did. I thought being down 6 at half was not good for the Boilermakers because you kind of been so dominant in the second half. We saw it against Illinois. They made those really strong adjustments at halftime and great runs. So I really thought Purdue was in trouble. It kind of like we're going to let Edie get as many as he wants and not going to get any threes on us. It kind of just goes back to, is the big man – coming back in college basketball, I think it's still the three-point shot that's going to reign here because Alabama may have given UConn that best run because they were knocking in threes. I thought Alabama could have made 15 to 16 threes. They had a chance to upset UConn. I believe they got to 12 or 13 on those three balls.
Big story after the Final Four, Kevin, was Calipari going to Arkansas from Kentucky. He met with his team. His team includes one player, by the way. But the flip side of that is the Kentucky job itself. Nate Oates didn't want it. Scott Drew didn't want it. Who wants this job? And is it a good job?
Well, Billy Donovan didn't want it either. I think they're going to have to throw up some big money. Interesting. Kentucky, the SEC overall, Mark, has gotten better. Kentucky's not that gym that it was in the past. And it comes down to, how much NIL money do you have to dish out? And I think that's what these coaches are trying to find out compared to what they have at their current institutions. What does the competition in your league have? That becomes a lot the deciding factor now. At Kentucky, well, it's a microscope job. It's as good as Calipari's been. Year 15, they'd had enough of him. So we saw what happened to Billy Gillespie when he went, lasted 3 years. That was not a good fit. I think it's going to be tough for them to find who they want for this position and where do they look next. Is it Bruce Pearl? I don't think Kelvin Sampson is going to leave Houston because Houston may be a better job now than Kentucky out there in the Big 12. So I don't know where they go. Rick Pitino is the name that's probably going to come up. They go back to Billy Donovan offering him more money. They're in a tough spot right now.
Well, that and the fact I think that it wasn't a real good look. I mean, yeah, Coach Cal has not had a lot of success in the NCAA tournament as of late. But, you know, Big Blue Nation kind of made it pretty clear that you better win now here. And it doesn't matter if the SEC is a lot better. Alabama's better now at basketball. Arkansas is better. Everyone's getting better. South Carolina, et cetera, Tennessee. This is Kentucky. You better win. Too much pressure for a coach to go into Lexington now?
Yeah, I think so. If you look at it's not a high-value job as it was before. And I don't know how much that Big Blue Nation, the history of Kentucky, matters to players anymore. Well, what happened to Cal, I think, he was committed to keep getting those McDonald All-Americans, and the COVID extra year made the other teams around him older. He continued to want to go with the one-and-dones, and that's just not a format that will work right now. Will it work better once this extra COVID year of eligibility ends next season? It might. I'm really interested to see what Cal does at Arkansas. Does he stay with that formula of McDonald All-American high school guys, or does he go to the portal to get players? I think he's really got to look at the portal now because he's coming in this he's a little bit late for the party, to the party in recruiting wise.
We talked a lot about Indiana State during the year, Kevin, and as you know, since Schertz went to St. Louis, the Indiana State roster has been decimated, including star Robbie Avila. Clearly an example that players sign with coaches and not the school. What do you make of that situation and others?
Well, I think what we talked about last week, maybe the week before, mid-majors becoming a junior college of those other programs, and even the A-10 is not considered a major conference. But the coach shifts, that team is decimated, and whoever comes into Indiana State, a little bit like the coach coming into Drake. It happens at a lot of mid-majors. You've got to start from scratch, and you're going to dive in the portal and see what you can pull together for a team. We're seeing more of these mid-majors dip into Division II. Is that trickles upwards? Do you get some guys that are coming back down from the high major schools? It's all about roster management right now in college basketball. And I, name, image, likeness. I don't know if it's going to ruin our sport. I don't think it's going to make it any better.
No, 1,500 now, well over 1,500, including two Boilermakers today. Mason Gillis is going to go for his fifth year somewhere else other than Purdue, and Ethan Morton from Purdue, one of their backup guards also. He was going to be counted on next year, both those guys, if they came back. So, I mean, it's no one is immune to this, as you have seen. And Iowa State is already picking guys up. I said they would have three within a week. They got three within a week.
Yeah, and they like to go the mid-major route, Iowa State, and get those guys that are hungry. That's been a formula that's been successful. But I think this tells it all with AJ Storr, leaves Wisconsin. I hear he's offered $750,000 by Kansas, but he thinks he's worth $1 million. So we're seeing players do that more and more. They've got a value on their head, and they're going to go out and shop themselves. It's not about what kind of degree can I get. It's what kind of NIL package can I get.
True. Well, Kansas has been very busy as well. They have also, I think, picked up three or four players already.
Well, we heard Bill Self say, in the NCAA tournament, that he was not going to be in this situation again where he was shorthanded with no bench. And I heard they have as much money and probably the most of any college basketball team as far as giving out NIL money. That's the Kansas Jayhawks. And I wouldn't doubt that because that's another place that has a rabid fan base.
Kevin, I hate to compare Iowa State and Iowa, but T.J. Otzelberger clearly has a different, quicker, strategy in the transfer portal as opposed to Fran McCaffrey. I don't know how quick Fran moved with Rabracha and others, but no movement at Iowa. It doesn't mean there won't be, at least coming in.
It definitely, TJ is really aggressive in that portal and kind of targets the guys they want, and they go after them hard. I don't know what the NIL money is there at Iowa State compared to what Iowa has. I think that's become a big factor now when you're going to the portal. Is how, as we just talked about, what are your funds available? And because it's like going to Walmart to go shopping here. And who's going to give you the best money? But I'm getting a scoop here on my phone, guys. I don't know if this one's true or not, but I'm hearing Mark Pope, BYU, a Kentucky graduate, is now the next guy that they've got interested in this Kentucky job.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting.
That'd be a little change of scenario, wouldn't it, from Provo?
Yes, it would. That's a 180-degreer right there. How they come up with these, I know how they do it, but it's in college basketball, it is just absolutely insane that they're doing this. But, top 25s already for next year. Most everybody has Iowa State top 7. Are you buying that?
I think as a way too early top 25, yeah, I would buy it right now based on what they have coming back in that guard court with Lipsy and the rest of his running mates and what they've had in the portal. But I think to do those right now is just really does not have a lot of meaning because there's going to be so much roster movement between now and when school starts in September or late August. It's going to be a busy, busy summer. The portal, I saw the numbers. There were 1,450, almost 1,500 players in the portal last Sunday, and that was a 25% increase over last year. What I'm interested to see, guys, if once this COVID extra year runs out, if this slows this transfer portal down some, and if there's any legislation that's going to come into effect what you're doing in NIL, because I don't think this is a model that's sustainable in amateur, so-called amateur college athletics.
I'm going to put out an emphatic no. It is not going to stop it. And I'll piggyback that with another question, Kevin. We've been kind of kicking this around. Other people have been kicking it around. Can we see in the next maybe 10 years two separate tournaments, one for the power conferences and one for everybody else?
That's a great question. But here's the thing. We've seen inequities for the last 50 years.
Nothing like this, though.
Well, there's always, you know, there was budgets, and back in the, when we used to call them bagmen, there were players getting paid. It's now it's legal to do it. And the schools with money were going to do it even back in the 60s and 70s when there wasn't a whole lot of NCAA enforcement. We're just seeing a new version of this now with now it's legal. The mid-majors, here's what I think is going to help them, Mark and Scott, is there's so many players out there now that you can still fill your roster. Look at Oakland, comes up with a kid from Division II and hits 10 threes against Kentucky. There's still players out there, and there's more good players than there's ever been. I think that's the one thing that can save these mid-majors because the talent pool has increased. They can't keep these guys like they did in the past. And you can't build that team like we saw Northern Iowa do with Ali Frohman-Nash and Eric Washburn, those types of teams, and what Drake did with Tucker DeVries. But I think you can still find players and they still can compete because here's the best thing. You know, it's 5-on-5, so you don't need a lot of guys. And the NCAA tournament is just one game. It's not a seven-game series. So I think that may still keep these mid-majors in the game. But I think more pressure comes, Scott, I'd like your opinion on this one, is the Greg Sankey's of the world trying to make this tournament bigger so they get more of the Power Fives in, because you see a unit pays $2 million. A unit is playing in the NCAA tournament game. That's the money that could ruin this sport, especially for the mid-majors.
Kevin, you call so many games throughout the year, mainly on television. Was there a highlight or maybe a couple highlights this year for you?
Well, I can tell you the highlight for my career – and this has gone untouched, is 2016 when I went to South Korea and called the World University Games. Kansas represented the USA, and the women had an all-star team, and the women had never been beaten in the World Games. It's like Olympics for those that enrolled in school. So, you know, I watched the flag. I watched the medal ceremony after we called those, and both the men and the women won the gold. That's been the highlight of my broadcast career, without a doubt. As far as this year, oh boy, there's so many of them. I would have to say something involved Indiana State. In that Indiana State Drake game in the Valley Tournament, I called it a raid. It was really, really one of the best games I've had all year.
It was good. It was good. You can throw. I know you didn't do the women's basketball outside of November in down in the Caribbean, but. Can't let you go without mentioning Caitlin Clark and the Iowa women. Great season coming up in second place again in the country. They had a great celebration last night down at Carver Hawkeye Arena to kind of put a big bow on everything and leave everybody with a good taste in their mouth, I think, as far as Iowa women's basketball this year. But just savor this because, you know, I don't know if it's gonna happen again like it did in the last couple of years. We'll see. You hope so, but I don't know.
Well, Scott, look at the recruiting that Lisa Bluter and Jan Jensen and the rest of that staff have done. They've got a incoming class that's ranked the top 10 in the country. They've done a great job there at the Iowa women of parlaying all this TV, the Caitlin Clark effect, into making Iowa a destination for these recruits. So I think they got this thing going in the right direction. It's tough to replace her, but I think what they're bringing in, they're going to be a factor in the national scene for quite some time to come. And it'd be interesting to see. I think I sent you the numbers I just got from ESPN this morning. The viewership, this is for all TV platforms, was up 27% overall for teams that were not involved in Iowa women. Mm. And the other numbers were 58% across the nation if you throw the Hawkeyes in there. So this has become, can they take this and run with this momentum that the women have in this college game? And I'm going to watch the WNBA draft for the first time ever on Monday night to watch. Because we now know who those women are that are playing in college basketball. They're staying around for 4 years. The men aren't. And I think that's what has brought this large viewership to the women's game.
One of our listeners said that exact same thing yesterday when we were talking about it, that used to be this way in the men's game. You knew who was going to be playing, and that's kind of the way it is in the women's game now.
Well, you think back, we remember in our era, Mark and I, with the Larry Bird matchup against Magic Johnson, how that saved college basketball. And I think the women are on that same trajectory where they now have stars that have been that become household names because you see them. And ESPN did a great job with Holly Rowe. They basically attached her to Caitlin Clark, whether she's playing on ESPN platform or not. And I thought that was tremendous for the drive to viewership to this women's game because that was, like you said, Scott, I think of our lifetime to watch Caitlin Clark and the trajectory that this women's program went in, we may not see it at that level ever again.
Very true. Can UConn do it 3 years in a row?
Well, I tell you, I wouldn't put it past Danny Hurley because did you listen to his post game? He was throwing out all sorts of little recruiting pitches about he didn't say the word NIL money, but he was insinuated, we got some cash here. We're going to go out and look for some players that fit our mold. I thought it was interesting some of his, if you read between the lines, some of the things he said in his post-game comments. He was setting the table up, even though they hadn't been active in the portal because they were trying to win a national championship. They were active. They were active in their own way.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if they can do it 3 years in a row. Kevin,
here's one for you, guys.
Yep.
Danny Hurley would not fit with that Kentucky crowd base because he'd be flipping them off, wouldn't he?
He'd be doing a lot. And tell you what, I said he's the closest on the men's side to Kim Mulkey that we have.
I just can't see him take any flack from the Kentucky fan base. That would not going to be a good fit.
Yeah. Kevin, thanks for all the great insight this year. We'll be talking, I'm sure, throughout the summer, spring and summer, but always good following hoops with you, and we'll talk again soon.
Mark and Scott, it was a pleasure. I hope we do it again next year, and I hope our listeners are a little bit more educated after listening to the three of us talk.
I hope. Well, you especially. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, guys. Have a great one.
You bet. We're going to take a break, come back, and we are going to have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you after this.
You ever have one of those days when you just couldn't come up with the right answer? Well, I know one answer that pretty much solves all problems. Ice cream. Yeah, it's the answer to everything, right? And right now, at Quickstar, our rich, creamy, straight from our dairy, Nature's Touch 1 gallon pails of ice cream are just $4.99. Yeah, now that's an answer worth digging into. Come on, be a problem solver. Bring home some fresh, delicious Nature's Touch ice cream. Only from Quickstar.
From the Augusta National Golf Club, Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the Masters. I'm Ted Emmerich. A former U.S. Open champion has brought a flamethrower to the second nine at Augusta.
Bryson DeChambeau, 6 under in the lead. He's putting for birdie at the 17th green in the back right portion of the green. He's made another one. Bryson is 7 under par through 17 holes. What a first round for Bryson as he goes to the 18th tee.
Taylor Zarcer, the call on SiriusXM. 5 birdies in a 6-hole stretch for DeChambeau, now playing 18. He put his tee shot into the fairway bunker left of the fairway, was able to splash out onto the green, and a nice lag putt for DeChambeau from about 40 feet. Bryson should be able to tap in from there for par. It would be a 7-under 65 for DeChambeau. He's got a 3-shot lead right now. You're listening to coverage of the 2024 Masters on Westwood One.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Traveling, volunteering, spending time with family? What's your retirement look like? With income planning from Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can help you grow and protect your wealth. They'll look at your full financial picture and help you create a flexible strategy that considers things like market conditions and healthcare expenses, so you can stop worrying about the future and enjoy whatever comes next. Visit fidelity.com/income planning. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services member NYSE SIPC.
Tiger Woods has played only 24 holes of competitive golf this year as he manages his surgically repaired ankle and knee and back. A lesser man would need a steel-toed boot to protect that ankle. Woods, the 15-time major champion, opens with a birdie at 1, only the second time since 2000. He started the Masters with a birdie, but Tiger is in the pine straw at 2 and right next to a loblolly pine off the tee. Let's check the leaderboard, sponsored by Dell. Dell Technologies pushes what technology can do so your great ideas can happen right now. Learn more at Dell.com. It's Bryson DeChambeau on top, 7-under, just about to tap in for par at 18 to wrap up a 65 today. Danny Willett, Ben Ahn, and Victor Hovland at 4-under, 3-back. Willett in the clubhouse, just 6 months removed shoulder surgery. Hovland heading to the second 9. He closed out the first 9 with 3 straight birdies. Ben Ahn is through 15 holes. From Augusta, I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
Hi, this is goaltender Hunter Jones, Iowa Heartlanders hockey team. Join us on April 12th and April 13th as we celebrate you with Fan Appreciation Weekend at Extreme Arena in Coralville. Don't miss this amazing celebration. Let's go, Heartlanders.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league. But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
And it was a bowling night in America, the penultimate edition last night, the final position night, if you will. And our update brought to you by May City Bowling, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The Nails need a turnaround going into the championship next week, Mark.
Yeah, no money for the Rusty Nails last night, losing a match 18-12. But next week, the Nails will, having won the first half championship, bowl against second half champion Pro Bowling Concepts for the overall championship.
Looking forward to that. That'll be coming up next week. And then we'll look forward to getting ready for 24-25. But if you are interested in some summer leagues, we'll tell you about that in a moment. Who was good last night? It wasn't me.
Mike Prochazka swept series and high game last night with a 280 game. 7:38 series.
Nice bowling, Mike. Nice bowling indeed. Give the phone number and the website for May City Bowl. Like I said, if you're interested in globe bowling, birthday parties, open bowling, if you want to inquire about summer bowling as well.
Be glad to. 362-0136. The website, maycitybowlcr.com.
There you go. And next week, we will go for the championship, and we'll see how it plays out. And you heard a Masters update from Westwood One. DeChambeau is in the clubhouse now at 7-under par, And Scottie Scheffler's got about a three-footer world number one to go into second place. So he is going to make it to four under par, and he is going to be through the 13th hole. And tomorrow, Rob Gray will join us, and we will talk and wrap up the Iowa State men's and women's basketball season, talk Cyclone spring football as well. And we'll talk a lot of Masters coming up on the Friday edition of the Gym Class and look ahead to the weekend. Now, Mark, enjoy the golf, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I will. Talk to you then.
All right. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have yourselves a great night. We'll talk tomorrow at 3.
Lowe's knows pros need the right tools for every job. That's why we sell the largest in-store selection of Klein tools anywhere. Find new items like the self-leveling green laser level for just $159.98. Plus, shop the Connect pass-through socket set for $49.98.